Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another epic, curated, planned, mixed, just-for-you episode of A Dicey Experience. We're super stoked to have you guys all tonight. Our contestants are super ready, excited, and motivated to step on forward and introduce themselves. Let's begin with the craziest, the kookiest, and the loudest, Lazy Man.
Okay, don't know how I feel about those descriptors, but I am Lazy Man, playing the Rogue Ranger Jean Lafayette, who is doing his best to avoid the Grim Reaper.
Our next contestant is, man, he's just the one that gets the ladies and smiles real big, and every time his teeth shine, they just brighten up the entire room. We got Mr. Meerkat. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your character.
What up, fam? This is your boy Meerkat. I'm playing Lucas.
And the skankiest, the one with the most energy and never lets Lazy Man live one down, Mr. Stolen.
Hey everybody, it's Stolen, and I did take a bath like a week ago, so I'm not that skanky. Okay.
That's good to know.
And I am playing Bruce Saipan, the warlock turtle that is living it as fake it till you make it.
Which of our contestants would like to...
Door number three.
Tell us what happened last time.
Us goes.
Got it.
Not it.
So they said not it.
I said nose goes! Why do we continue to pick the person with the worst memory to recap the episodes? Okay. Last time, there was a tavern brawl, and we got Drake out of the tavern and onto the ship, and Meerkat and myself went to the shipwright, who is a Goliath. What was his name?
Come on, note takers.
Goliath?
Yeah.
A shipwright Goliath. Come on, guys.
Oh, Benfrick.
We went to Benfrick's side of the island, met with him, did a little bit of negotiating, and ended up getting a couple of dwarves, Penguin and Minguin, not quite, I don't think, but something like that.
Francon
and Pancon. Who only speak Dwarvish, and...
Very, very little English.
Yes, yes.
Very little common.
They had a Spanish accent, but now they sound Russian, so...
give me a moment when we actually play them.
We got them back to our ship, and we, I believe, had decided to spend the night on the ship, and Meerkat and Stolen were going to return to... town of Linguina to finish up a few things, and then we would be setting sail. What massive information did I forget?
That sounds about right. This episode begins a little bit different than others. It begins with a flash of lightning and a loud thunderous boom. Camera rolls in and we see some kind of pine wood trees with a wagon racing through it. Two horses up front, there's a humanoid man sitting at the very front, encouraging the horses to continue forward. We zoom in a little bit closer into the wagon and we find ourselves sitting kind of in first person inside the wagon. John, you look down at your hands. Your paws?
Paws, yes. I'm here and gone.
Look down at your paws and they are much younger. In fact, you're wearing a sweet little suit you imagine your mother has put you into. Button up, the tie's probably a little bit of a mess, but you're about 10 years old, sitting in this wagon. You looked around, it's a wooden wagon with red cushioned seats. Your mother has her arms around you, holding you, as you guys seem to be bouncing a lot in the wagon. This isn't common. I guess it's more of a carriage than a wagon. What do you call those? The fancy...
Carriage.
You're bouncing a lot more than normal. This isn't normal. You see your dad, he's sitting across from you, and he's got his hand on the hilt of his purple sword, and he's looking up ahead, and... How close are they?
I'm sorry, sir. I can't quite tell. I just know they're gaining.
I can't quite focus on them and drive at the same time. He slams that door shut and he pokes his head out the cart window. Your mom kind of leans over to kind of say, hey, what? Don't do. Shut up. Keep him calm. Keep him calm. Keep whom calm. You realize your body is kind of shaking. You're frantic a little bit. You're in a panic. As your dad opens that window, the rain rushes in. It's definitely storming outside. And he goes, oh, drat. There's three of them behind us. We're never going to make it to the coast in time.
Three of who, Daddy?
Don't worry about it, John. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. He slams the door shut. We just have to get to the tree line. The cart continues to bounce. It shakes. It moves. Suddenly, it flips. You're no longer sitting straight. The cart begins to roll, and you're rolling inside of it. Ka-chunk. 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 Slam. You definitely see a trunk of a pine tree crashing inside of the cart. Is everyone all right? Your mom checks in. She seems fine. John, are you okay?
No, I think I've broken my arm. Ah, it hurts so bad.
George, are you? He opens the window up front. Oh, crap. Slams that shut. He kicks the door that's now above you open. Honey, you have to get him out of here. Go. He starts helping you and your mom out of the cart. He climbs out. By then, three men on horses have gotten closer to you, just close enough where you can start to see them. The horse that was taking your carriage is long gone. Your mom grabs you and she begins to drag you and pulling on you to start going down this dark path. It's nighttime.
Mama, who is it?
Don't worry, honey. We've just got to get away. We've got to go hide. It's going to be... Crossbow bolt right through her chest. She blinks at you for a second. Let's go of your hand. And you watch as she kind of grabs towards her chest for a second before she falls over. Blood dripping down her fur. John, you have to get out of here now! You see your dad draw that purple sword. Another flash of lightning with a loud boom. He points with his finger and you watch. He says something in a language you don't understand, but is deep and is guttural, and it sounds something to the effect of,
oh no.
A monster jumps out from the side of the woods and topples over the horses that were chasing after you. Your dad turns to you again. His eyes are a different bright orange color.
Run! Find Nadar! Go!
Points down the path. What do you do?
John looks down at his mother and attempts to hoist her up and pull her down the path through the forest.
Make me a strength check.
It's bad. It's a six.
Six. You're pulling and pulling. You can see the edge of the forest, but she's not moving. You watch the monster that attacked the horses. Your dad charges towards it. You can't quite tell what it is, but it kind of gleams a little bit. Like Saphira. Who's Saphira? Oh, yeah. You run on her back one time. And briefly for a second, we see that reminder of you guys just flying through the air. Only for another loud boom to hit. And shake us out of that memory. Three men go towards your dad, and he swings his purple sword. Another flash of lightning. See one of the men get cut down. Blood dripping on the edge of the blade. Another flash of lightning, a crossbow bolt lands next to you. You can hear more men coming from behind the three that were chasing you. Suddenly you're grabbed from behind.
We have to go now. John, we can't stay here. We have to go now.
Sean reaches down with his unbroken arm and rips his mother's necklace from her neck and stuffs it into his pocket and hurries down the path.
The purple scales, amethyst scaled, dragonborn, grabs you to turns to help you down the path. You're getting ready to run. And then he stops for a brief second as you see your mom move for just one more quick second after you've taken that necklace.
Nadar, I know he asked you to watch him. Please, take him to my sister. Please.
And she falls, and you can see the blood drain from her face. Another crossbow bolt lands next to you. Nadar begins to push you down the path. You hear your dad scream behind you. Do you turn and look?
No. John keeps his eyes closed tightly and just runs and probably stumbles a little bit as he's not watching where he's going and just trusting this man that's next to him to help him stay upright.
You feel like you're being pushed when you move and you can feel the rain pouring on your fur, and suddenly you feel something grab your face. You do. You open your eyes for a brief moment and you look. It's your father. This doesn't feel familiar, but his skin's a little deteriorated now. The mustache that was on his rabbity face seems to kind of be falling off a little bit. There's an axe in his back. His eyes are wide, and he looks at you, and he says, "Find Marie." And you wake up with a slam. Jean, you're now back on the boat. You have been knocked over by Nameless, who's knocked you out of your hammock. You've fallen on your face. Or roll me a dexterity check.
Oh, I'm not falling anywhere, bud. Let's say 20... Ooh, my brain. Math. 22?
22. Nameless is coming, and he's pushed your hammock, and you begin to flip, and you're kind of tangled up inside the hammock, but you did not fall. In fact, it's kind of cool, because the whole hammock slips upside down, and you're kind of just hanging there, and you're facing the floor. Nameless seems to be running around the room, kind of like a puppy with zoomies, but he's growling at the same time. You kind of hear a loud screech from the window, and a banging from the window in your room. Sunlight's coming in.
John... opens his eyes, stretches, and tries to wipe the memory from his eyes and looks over to the window where this weird banging sound is coming from.
Master, something's there. Something's there, Master. Master, something's there. It's Harry.
Yeah, yes, I hear you. And John groggily stumbles over to the window.
You look. There's kind of sitting on the sill, jumping excitedly as a flying monkey. He's got a little red hat that looks like a solo cup with a little white little yellow string coming off the top of it. It's kind of, you know, strapped around his strapped from the top and straps underneath his chin there. He's got a red vest on with, you know, yellow lining on the outside of this red vest. His monkey tail is wagging. He's kind of jumping up down, screeching a little bit. You know this. This is St. Marie's familiar, Jackson.
In my sleepy state, I'm going to look over at Nameless and say, you know, on my last ship, we didn't have to deal with things like disappearing goblins, possessed dolls, weird, strange dragons, and flying monkeys.
Should I lightning it? I'll lightning it.
No, no. Let's just go see what it wants. And Jean will, in no real hurry, get all of his clothes and get all put together and make sure that he grabs his pistol and his rapier and put them on his belt and head to the deck of the ship.
Okay, so you're not going to open the window to let the monkey in there?
No.
Okay. You head out to the deck of the ship. I imagine... Lucas has been up for a while, probably cooking some food. You're an early riser, Lucas?
Have to be in the restaurant trade.
Right. So I imagine there's a little smokestack coming outside the kitchen there. Crew, I imagine you're probably passed out somewhere still. Early enough morning.
Yeah. Yeah, crew is still passed out.
You see Sally, she's sleeping in the hallway. She waves at you as you walk by.
I accidentally kick her dirt pile. Spread it around a little bit. Accidentally, of course.
Sally goes into a little bit of a frenzy, not upset at you, just kind of in a panic of, oh no, my dirt pile's been moved, and goes to go start sweeping it again. You feel like you have a haunting glare from behind you, though. You imagine that's probably Lily. You make your way out of the hallway and onto the deck, and Jackson flies down, and he just gives you a big embrace, super excited to see you.
Hello.
He kind of jumps around.
Yes, yes. Let's...
does a little monkey dance that he's used to doing, and he pulls his hand out for, you know, a present for doing the dance.
Let's bring it down a notch, and John will reach into his pocket, pull out a copper, and throw it to him.
He dances excitedly, and then he pulls out of his vest pocket a letter and hands it to you.
I pull out my monocle and affix it to my eye. Take a look down at the letter, which is loading onto the page before me as my eyes see it and open, and much blinking is done, and the words are blurry as I attempt to gather my thoughts while the letter opens in protected view, processes.
Are you struggling?
There we go.
A Word document I sent
no,
you.
No, it's loading. It's just now opened up. Okay. John mutters through the letter as he's reading it. John, I know you haven't left Linguina. Rumors, some old enemies here. know you're afraid, but I'm going to need to have you come talk with me. Gift. Now you can come talk at my store, or you can use the chalk. Jackson, show you how it works. Just remember that if you haven't taken chalk before, it can be a little disorienting. Okay. Well, if Lazy Man remembers correctly, somebody else had given us chalk, right? What's his name?
Yes.
Benfrick gave us chalk. Okay.
Benfrick has given you chalk. Remember, he said that chalk was key to his location, or his workstation.
So in reading through the letter, John is assuming it's something similar to that. John turns to Jackson and says, you have something for me? Holds out his hand.
He reaches into his vest pocket, and he shows you a green piece of chalk in his right hand. And then he does an old game that he used to play with you, where he puts it behind his back, and he moves his hands around a couple of times and puts both of his fists up. Big toothy flying monkey grin.
Jackson, we can do this game 1,000 times, and it will still be in your tail every time.
Jackson sighs and swings his tail around, and the green piece of chalk slowly moves forward.
Jean reaches out to grab for it.
Pulls back teasingly.
You know, next time, if you put it in your left hand, I'll get it wrong. And Jean holds out his hand, palm up, to allow Jackson to drop the chalk into his hand.
He claps excitedly and drops the chalk into your hand.
Thank you very much. She did not seem to be in any rush, correct?
Kind of shrugs and kind of moves his head back and forth.
Okay.
Like, kind of, but no, like, if you ate breakfast, it wouldn't be a big deal.
I'm absolutely going to get breakfast first, and then I will see about seeing her. Once I make sure that the twins are taken care of and that the ship repairs are underway, that we aren't flying colors again unnecessarily, and that we are not in any imminent danger. I feel like that order is wrong, but I need food first.
Lucky scratches his head. Lucas! Lucas, you woke up early, yeah?
Yeah, I woke up early and made my way to the kitchen and put together some strawberry dumplings for everybody.
What do you do when you first get into the kitchen? Is there like a certain routine that Lucas follows every day, or?
I check my recipe book, as I tend to write in it during the day any new thoughts, any new ideas, and I look them over to see if there's something new that I can make or try and improve on something that I've already done, and then basically just get started.
When you start grabbing your tools and utensils, I imagine you're pretty cognitive of your tools that are in the kitchen, right?
Everything has its place, yep.
You go to grab some knives to start cutting up, as you said, strawberry turnovers? Yeah, to start chopping up the strawberries. There's a butcher knife missing.
I'll look around the kitchen for it in the general area.
As you begin to turn, I need you to roll me...
Strength 16.
Large bugbear arms grab you from behind, and a knife, the one you've been looking for, comes to your throat. Where am I?
You're on the ship.
Whose ship?
Look, Drake, you're on John's ship, don't you remember?
I haven't seen John in years.
Well, you saw him yesterday.
Maybe when I was a little drunk. Who are you pretending to be?
You were very drunk. And we brought you to the ship, so I at least know those things, so maybe put the knife away from my neck.
So you've kidnapped me. He pulls the knife a little bit closer.
You came willingly with your friend Jean.
Where is he now, if he's really here?
Probably in his room. And my throat is visibly like trying to pull away from the knife.
Show me.
Okay, well, you need to turn with me, and I'll try and turn around in the kitchen, and I guess I'll...
Okay, yeah.
John, I'll call out, Sean, and...
John, you've just started going up the stairs, and you hear this.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Sean, your friend's awake, and I think he's forgotten what happened.
What happened?
Did you forget too? I didn't think that you had drunken anything.
And John gets to the door and opens it up.
You see Lucas pulled close to Drake's chest. Drake's still, his robe is wide open. So it's, you're just leaning against his fur. He's got a knife to Lucas's throat. Who are you? What have you done with John?
What are you doing? Close your robe, man.
How do I know this is John?
Who else would I be?
Sally's been hunting me for a while now. I know when I can smell her people chasing me down.
Yes, you were in a tavern full of them last night, and apparently your sniffer was not doing so well then, either.
Prove to me. How do I know you're John?
How do you know? Well, I suppose there's the fact that we escaped together by rowboat in the middle of the night in an attempt to avoid execution by Saleh. Or the fact that we were put to sea by her years later after she killed our entire crew and stole all of our goods and ended up with us being pressed into service by Anne Bonny, myself under Captain Adar, and you who knows where all these years.
I've told John one secret, and one secret alone, that he knows. If you're really him, you would have shared that with me.
Ah, but if I had shared that with you, then only John wouldn't know that information, would he? As there is another friend here, Lucas.
Roll a persuasion check. You can, if you want to help him, Lucas, you can.
I can't really do anything.
21.
Point. Pokes you with the knife. You go outside. Don't go far.
Lucas, I'm quite hungry. Will you please make me some breakfast? I've got to go and see St. Marie in a bit.
He's going outside.
Drake, down the knife. Quit drinking so heavily so that you forget every goddang thing that happens. Take a deep breath. You were assailed last night by... Shoot, what's that guy's name? The Scarface guy?
Fleeska.
Fleeska! You were assailed last night by Fleeska and his men. We rescued you. While you were blitheringly drunk and attempting to fight the entire world, you're welcome. And now you are aboard my ship and quite safe. So please, take a deep breath, sit down, and let us have breakfast.
Really is you, bunny boy. I've missed you. He walks over and he lets go of Lucas, just drops him completely on the floor, and embraces John with a big old hug.
John will embrace him back.
The fur is warm. It smells like alcohol. I've missed you. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
Well, I feel like I just told you. I've been working with Captain Adar in an attempt to pay off my debt to Miss Bonny. What have you been doing?
Adar. Adar, he sent you with Adar. That's... He's good people. I've sailed with one captain after the next, and he dropped off random places, never making much. But I woke up this morning with 6,000 gold pieces in my pocket, so I must have done something right last night. Did you...
You stole quite a lot of money. Speaking of which, 6,000, sir. You owe me at least 500.
I have you paid your debt off yet? Because I'm still working on mine, and I could really use the 6,000 to pay that debt off first, and then I can work on the 500 after that, and... You see this big, tall bugbear kind of slump a little bit, and he starts counting out 500 gold pieces from the two pockets that he has on his robe.
Have you spoken with Bonny lately?
No.
And how much debt do you have left?
At least another 7,000. Well, now, 7,500.
Oh, I see. That shouldn't be a problem. Sail with us for a few months, and you'll make that.
Inviting me to your crew?
Of course.
Human, this is a day to celebrate! Bring the wine!
No, there will be no drinking on this ship.
But we always celebrate with drink.
We do celebrate with a drink. You are a blithering drunk, however. And until I assure that you're not going to be a liability to this ship or its crew... While we are sailing covertly and on a quite unique mission, you get no drink.
Well, I woke up sleeping on the bags in here. Where can I put my stuff?
I believe Crew vacated his room. You can go down and take his.
Who's Crew?
He is the Tortle who I have allowed to assume command as captain in order to maintain a low profile.
I'll go look for it.
I thought we were eating breakfast.
Yes, mimosas. Yes, mimosas and breakfast. Sounds good.
One mimosa.
Ha ha ha! That's the John I know, and he gives you a noogie. What do you guys do?
My hand will be on my throat, and there'll be just a small, tiny bit of blood that comes away from my neck into my hand.
And I'm sorry.
No turnovers for you. And I'll storm back upstairs to go to the kitchen.
Oh, I don't think he likes me.
Well, maybe quit trying to kill my crew after they saved you. Risking their own necks.
Fair. It's fair. Perhaps I'll give him time to cool down and I'll go put stuff in my room.
That might be best.
And Drake walks off.
John will continue towards the kitchen as well. And get with Lucas. Show him the letter from St. Marie. And just talk it over with him while he's reading over it if he wants to. St. Marie wishes for me to go back in town. I know you and Crew had some business that you needed to attend to. I will probably use this chalk to get into her business quietly and quickly, as to not attract much attention. And yourself and Crew are welcome to go about the town and attend to whatever you need to be ready to leave.
Side note, what were we doing? Me and Crew.
I don't know. There was a magic item, I think, at the very least, that you asked him.
Yeah, I had a magic item to go back for.
Okay, got it. John, do you know what St. Marie wants?
I do not. I genuinely have no idea. We spoke for just a brief moment the other day. She's obviously aware that some of my aunt's crew is in the area. I am genuinely uncertain, though, as to what she could want now.
Do you think me and Crew should come along as a backup if anything goes wrong?
I trust St. Marie. I have known her for a good majority of my life now, and the method of the delivery of the note itself, there is nothing here to indicate that there is any sort of danger. You're more than welcome to come along if you would desire, and you can leave from St. Marie's. It might be good to have backup just in case. I don't think there's any danger from Miss Marie herself.
Okay, I don't want you getting hurt, so we'll talk to Crew and then maybe move faster to go to St. Marie's first, and then we can leave from there if everything seems okay and leave you to your conversation.
Yes, I would appreciate that. And of course, it's always best to include the captain in these conversations.
Where is he anyway? It's almost noon.
I don't know. I imagine, though, having to take care of Drake all night, he might have been up for quite a while and be quite exhausted. I suppose while you're working on breakfast, I could go down and check in on him.
That'd be great. I'll finish up here. I got a couple more things to put together. I'll put him some coffee or something so he can wake up.
Much appreciated. And John will turn and head toward the door to go find Crew.
I'll just call out, John, are you hungry now?
I can wait a few more minutes.
I will not throw John a strawberry nothing.
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's Jason Sketch, and I'm going to be doing the middle section again for you guys this week. I'm on vacation this week, and man, it is just nice to get to be able to be at home, relax, and just do a staycation. Not have to go anywhere, not have to do anything, not even have to go to work. It's just a blessing and a pleasure to get to come and work on the podcast, hang out, maybe do a little bit of homework, and make sure that my puppy dog's doing okay. Hope that you guys are all having a blessed and awesome week. I know it's the middle of the school year, and you guys are probably all stressing as we're getting closer to the holidays, but I hope that maybe listening to a Dicey Experience... Oh, hey there, Shayla. Maybe listening to a Dicey Experience will just give you that chance to just relax, breathe, and get a chance to just enjoy your school semester a little bit. If you're looking to take a small break from your semester, please leave us a review either on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or anywhere else you might listen to our podcast. It would be incredible to get to hear y'all's opinions, your thoughts, and all those other fun things as well. I might even use your names, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, your names as an NPC for an upcoming episode. We're getting ready to close this arc here soon, and we got a small few things left to do, but then we're going to be jumping right into making our way down to some pretty awesome places, and I hope you guys are excited. I would love to see your fan theories of where we're going to go, what the terrarium is actually like, and all these other fun things. Well, guys, I know that you guys are probably like, cool, Jason, we love the middle bit, blah, 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 please move forward. So I'm going to let you guys get back to the story, and yeah, I hope to hear from you all soon. Okay, bye-bye! Yeah, you head back into the kitchen, and Sarah's there. She's dressed up for her turn to help you with whatever you need in the kitchen. She seems to be washing the knife that was on the floor.
And who was that, sorry?
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah, this knife was missing from the kitchen when I came in. Do you know where it went? Or did somebody play with it?
She kind of looks at you a little confused, and then mimics the bugbear standing behind you with the knife?
Oh. I did not put that together.
How quickly they forget.
She... I imagine she can't reach your head, but she pats you on your hand with that kind of like, it's okay gesture.
Bless your heart.
I take the knife.
Alright.
Can I want to make the spiced maize snack from the Goblin Cookbook.
Oh, that's right, because you got all the things you needed for that. That's exciting.
It was just a roll to see if I got a DC 15 or 20. I don't know if you want me to do anything special for those rolls.
Nope. Go ahead and... yes, you wanted to make the spiced maize snacks. Okay.
Yep.
Beautiful. Yeah, go ahead and make that roll.
Do I just straight d20?
Yes, so it's going to be a wisdom check.
Okay.
Unless you can encourage me in some other way that you might do to be able to prepare this meal and cook it well.
I will put the maize and the spices together in a big bowl, and I'm going to think about everything that we need to do today. I'm going to make little luncheon bags. Like trail mix, I guess, little baggies for everybody, and I'm gonna write their names on the little bags to give everybody as we're walking off the ship. With the wisdom, it's 17.
17, awesome. Then you'll get that it actually turns out really well, and I got a bit of a glossy look to it, but it's kind of grainy as well at the same time. It's got a nice strong smell to it, but you are able to get that benefit of the plus 10 there.
And so would that be plus 15 or just plus 10?
Just plus 10.
Okay.
Thank you to Dakin for sharing this incredible book. Be looking for all of Dakin's materials coming soon to a DM's guide.
Thank you, Dakin.
Awesome. Yeah, so you have those. You have the little baggies. I think you have enough to make 5 servings. So yeah, you have enough to kind of give everybody. So perfect.
Oh, and that's me.
Okay. Yeah, when you make it and you finish up, the goblin that was on the front cover, the one without the nose and the cook's hat, you make it, you test it out, and you smile, and you turn, and you see the book kind of flash a little bit, right? You turn back to the page, of the spiced maize snacks, and you see the goblin has like put like a stamp there with his approval that you did it right and did it well. He's kind of got a thumbs up of image of himself, kind of saying that like he, you know, you did it good. So good job. You get the sticker to mark that you have rated spiced maize snacks.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Let's continue. John, you get to Crew's door.
John will knock on the captain's door.
Just a moment.
Well, what are you doing?
John's gonna test the doorknob to see if it's locked or not.
It is not locked.
John will walk in.
Crew is in the middle of polishing his shell. I said just a moment.
How does one polish a shell as a turtle? Please paint a word picture for me on how this occurs.
Essentially, like how you dry your back with a towel. He has a cloth that has some polish on it and is working it from side to side on his, up and down his shell. And then
that is way better than what I imagined. I imagined you stepped out completely from your shell.
The shell is part of me. How can I step out of my shell?
That's why I asked.
Every once in a while, I'll find a mirror or some kind of shiny surface that's in there to kind of check, see how it's doing, do a little touch-up, and keep going back and forth.
Right on. John, here's your sight. You've got a giant towel on Crew's back as he's trying to shine it. What do you do?
What are you doing?
I'm taking care of self-maintenance.
Why don't you just jump in the ocean?
That doesn't polish. And besides, the salt water is horrible for my skin.
Aren't you a turtle?
That doesn't mean I want to have dry skin from the salt.
I imagined turtles lived in the ocean.
No, we
are you a freshwater turtle?
We live on an island.
But you don't go into the water?
I don't.
Ah, I see. But others do.
I mean, I've seen them in the ocean before, but then
turtles.
I'm not high maintenance. I just like to have soft skin.
And a polished shell.
Yes.
I see. Well,
What did you barge in on me for?
I did not barge in. I knocked.
And I said a moment, but yet you still came, so.
I waited a moment. I think we should have an open door policy on this ship.
Then you see what you see.
I suppose that's a good point. Is Crew wearing pants yet?
He has a towel wrapped around his waist.
Okay, good. Myself and Lucas were simply discussing the plan for the day. And wanted to rope you in before we made too many decisions.
What all of y'all discussed?
Well, I received a letter from St. Marie this morning, and so it looks as though we are going to head her way via chalk, and John will hold up the green piece of chalk to show him. And from there, you and Lucas will be about your business, and I will then head back to the ship and ensure everything is secured and taken care of here.
So, quick question, DM. Is this traveling by chalk, is that something like widely known in this world, or is that something like obscure?
No, it's something kind of new for all of you guys to start hearing. Ben Frick was kind of the first one that brought it up. I do want to remind our listeners and our players that when Ben Frick spoke of it, traveling by chalk, you were there for only a limited amount of time, and then you'd be shot back to wherever you drew your circle of chalk.
How were we traveling by chalk, Sean? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a newfangled method of travel. I wouldn't expect someone as young as you to understand. John says is a cover for not understanding how it works either.
I feel like that was a backwards compliment somehow, but I'll take the compliment on age, because I mean my age.
Yes, you are quite inexperienced.
No, young and beautiful is how we're going with this.
Yes, you lack maturity and are quite high maintenance.
But beautiful.
You know, as a creature with hair, I just can't look at something that smooth and think it's beautiful.
I guess beauty is in the eye of the beholder in this situation.
I suppose. I'm not saying you're unattractive or anything, Crew. I don't want to hurt your self-esteem or anything like that, but It's just the shell, really, is hard for me to get around.
So, anyways, we need to go into town. We need to go into town. I need to pick up my chain. And then also, I just finished off my polish, so I may visit Red again and see if he has any more polish that I can buy.
Turtle wax.
Yes, exactly.
I've heard that's the best polish.
Yeah, I'm more of a tortoise paste, but I mean, turtle wax will do. Turtle wax will do okay. In the meantime.
Hashtag not sponsored, but please sponsored.
But
well,
the real question is, yes. The new crew that are on board. Have we made them roll yet to see if they are part of the Fates? Because that doesn't need to happen today.
Okay. I was somewhat under the impression that was for people that were joining involuntarily, but I suppose we can.
I mean, you spent more time with Nadar than I. I just assumed it was everybody.
It was usually for people we captured and asked to either roll or jump off the ship into the drink.
All right. Well, that works.
Does
Lucas have breakfast ready? Because I am starving.
I just left there, and he is indeed working on breakfast.
Well, let's go get some.
Before I forget, if while you are picking up some tortoise paste, if you will look and see if you can't... If you can't see if you could find some more ammunition for my... flintlock, that would be much appreciated. About 15 rounds or so would do.
Okay.
Much appreciated. And John will head out and pull the door closed while crew finishes his morning routines.
It doesn't take me much longer. I basically just have to take off the towel and put on the trousers. So about 30 seconds after he closes the door, I start walking out after him.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, I imagine y'all go up to the kitchen and there's this new... special packages that Lucas has for you.
What is this?
Well, this book that we found in the cave on the island. This book contained the recipes, and I just tried one of them out, and that's what's in this bag. And I hand over a bag to crew with his name written on it.
I will. Is it like a trail mix? Is it dry? I'm assuming.
Kind of like a dry / sticky.
Okay. I'll reach into the bag and kind of grab like a little piece and pop it in my mouth.
It tastes good. You feel a little energized. You kind of like a little bit of a buzz. You kind of feel like you have to consume the entire serving to really feel good. But yeah.
This is good. Is there sugar in it? Because it's kind of giving me a little bit of a sugar rush.
Slightly, but maybe you just don't need a lot of sugar.
That's true. I gotta keep the physique.
Yeah, don't we all? DM, what exactly is walking speed, and how do you gain a bonus to that?
So, like, on your character sheet, there's a section on the character sheet that says walking speed. Or it says speed, and so it lets you know how many spaces you can walk.
Oh, it's just your speed. Okay.
Yeah, and so instead of... So it'd be a +10 to your speed.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, if you consume the entire serving.
Got it. So I guess I hand Jean his, and if you eat the entire thing, you get +10 speed for a day, I guess.
For the day, yeah.
Ah, that seems quite useful.
And then I also made strawberry turnovers, so dig in. Crew, there's coffee for you since you stayed up all night.
Oh, thank you. I definitely am going to need that today. Drake is a handful.
Yeah, I rub my neck. Oh, I believe that.
What happened?
He attacked me in the kitchen with my own knife. But Jean managed to talk him down.
At that, crew's gonna kind of just turn around to Jean. I thought you said he was trustworthy. He's already trying to kill one of us?
He was hungover, yes. But now he's okay. You've certainly drunk too much one night and... made some regretful decisions, or...
I have, but they didn't involve murder.
Well, I mean, you're a turtle, he's a pirate bugbear. It's, you know, 6-1, half dozen the other.
I'll just be keeping a close eye on him. We can't afford to lose our cook.
I would agree. We definitely do need to keep a close eye on him and ensure that he does not drink his way into a problem. We can't have him waking up every other day and not knowing where he is and who is who.
Definitely. Where is Drake?
A little cheese shanty outside. Someone's definitely singing. Good time. I'll
where sing. Is all the alcohol on this ship, Lucas?
I would have some in the kitchen, but the rest would be in kegs in the storeroom.
We might want to move those to the captain's quarters.
Yes, we might. We should do that.
Why don't you put your friend to doing that today while we're out and about?
Oh, yeah. Reacher kid.
Yes!
And I kind of like, I assume he was just standing right there and I jumped.
Sorry, I just walked in. We didn't have breakfast, so I thought maybe there'd be lunch, but I was really worried and concerned because nobody was awake on the boat. And then I saw this bugbear, he was slumping around, he looked really sad and then happy and then kind of drunk, and then there was two dwarves on the ship. Are they supposed to be on the ship? Because there's lots of people. My rump hurts from sitting outside your door all day, and can I come with you, please?
Redrickin, you can come ashore with us today.
Oh, good.
We need to talk about your confidence levels.
Oh, okay, Master Lucas, I'm sorry.
And no, just Lucas, none of that master stuff, but I pick up a strawberry turnover and I hand it to him. Here, you must be starving. Here, take this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Matt, Lucas?
I give him a pat on the shoulder. Look, Redrickin, you are your own cobalt, and you can make decisions for yourself. You don't need to always ask me for permission, so if you think of something that may benefit you or the ship, just go ahead and do it. Just don't burn the ship down.
Okay, I thought it would be really good if we hung up the flags. I might go hang up some flags if you want me to go do that.
No, we should not be flying any colors.
Well, black isn't really a color, so I figured.
Do not fly those colors in Linguina.
Oh.
We need...
Maybe just check in with us with major decisions like that, Friedrichin. We'll start small, like you can go for a walk around the ship, or you can get yourself a cookie. Those kind of things.
I can do that? And he starts climbing the fridge to the cookie jar.
Go right ahead.
Oh. But remember moderation.
He seems very excited. 3 cookies in, huh?
Just go for it, Friedrichin.
Have you not been eating?
No, I have to wait for a master to tell me to eat, right?
Not anymore. Three meals a day.
Not cookies.
And eat and...
I feel like you're talking to your child.
He seems to be acting like it.
Okay. Eat 3 meals with a cookie a day.
1 cookie per meal is fine.
Oh, good. Okay. I just had 6.
That's 2 days worth of cookies then.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I disappointed everyone. I'm just trying to do my best and, oh.
We're not angry, we are disappointed.
That's the worst phrase you could use.
We just really expect more of you at this point in life.
Oh no, he pulls his shirt up over his head and kind of gets into the fetal position.
All right, so, you know, stop being so dramatic. Come on, just stand up.
Okay, I can do that.
What would you like to do today, Friedrichin?
I want to touch sand.
You can do that. That's easy enough. And I hand him a bag of trail mix.
Oh, well, thank you. Are these cookies?
If you shut your eyes and think of cookies while you eat it, they can be cookies.
Just pops the whole thing, bag and all, into his mouth. And swallows it. See him kind of vibrate a little bit. It settles.
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go. Yes, let's go. I'm ready. What are we doing? I'm excited.
Well, we have to eat first, so you can sit for a minute.
Oh, okay. He sits in the chair and it vibrates.
How about you go and dance with Drake?
Okay.
Walks outside and disappears.
I have a feeling out of everyone, he's going to get us killed.
Yeah.
Well, we decided to bring him on board. We've got to at least take care of him.
I agree. He should be eating 3 meals a day. I'm not quite sure I trust his judgment on much else besides feeding himself, though.
Well, maybe the lack of food is why he hasn't been thinking very well. Maybe a couple of days worth of meals and he'll be right as rain.
Certainly a possibility.
So, well, since he's coming ashore with us, maybe we can get the sisters to move the alcohol up to my quarters. Lily, Sarah, can you come here real quick?
Hey, Sarah jumps down from the kitchen sink and walks over. Seems to be drying her hands. Sally and Lily aren't there.
Sarah, do you mind moving all the barrels of alcohol out of the storage and up into my room? Feel free to get one of your or both of your sisters to help you.
She stands up straight, puts both of her feet together, and takes her right hand and puts it to her eyebrow.
And I salute her back.
She nods and marches out of the room.
Well, hopefully that will keep Drake at bay for a little while.
You definitely hear him singing really loud outside.
Lord help us, we need to keep him in check.
I don't like him very much. How long is he staying with us?
I mean, he's a fighter, so we saw that last night. He'll at least help protect the ship, hopefully, as long as Jean's with us.
He's a good hand. He's certainly going to be a lot of trouble. I need to catch up with him and see where he has been the last 4 years. Last several years. It's not like him to be acting like this. I'm certain in his bondage he's gone through quite a few ordeals, much like I have, and it has perhaps changed the man. But he's a good sailor, he's loyal, and he'll be good for the crew.
While we're gone, we should also get the brothers to do some assessment on the ship, see what we need to get fixed before we sell out, or if we can even sell out.
Yes, that is a phenomenal idea. Lucas, you speak Dwarvish, correct?
See?
See. Ocean. Lake.
The way of a Capitan.
Ha. If... if you will go and ensure that they are making repairs and perhaps make a list of anything they might need from while we are sailing from land that we can pick up before we head out today.
Alright, I'll see what they need.
It was 24 hours before I could pick up my chain. That was like mid-afternoon, right?
Yeah, it was just starting to turn to like dark when you all went out, because you all wait until nighttime where people are a little more inebriated. It's about noon. You know that your necklace will probably be ready about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Do you guys consume breakfast?
Oh, yeah.
The camera will fade out a little bit as we kind of watch you guys eat breakfast, see the brothers working on the side of the ship, kind of scraping off some barnacles, and they seem to be arguing. See the sisters beginning to move barrels up to the captain's quarters. See Bang kind of flying around the top of the crow's nest while a bugbear is up there singing, holding an alchemy jug, doing what he considers to be his best job, the lookout. And Frederiken doing his best to climb the net to try to catch up so he can dance while the bugbear sings. Slowly as Frederiken climbs, he realizes might be a little more afraid of heights than he thought. I think that's well closed for the evening. How do you guys feel?
Well, there will be fists between crew and Drake if he thinks he can be the best lookout. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. So we'll find out next time on a Dicey Experience.